We've been talking about prophets and prophecy. And in this, in the process of doing this, we've looked at several things. We're not going to do much review at all. Just go ahead and get the tapes and listen to it. But we're not going to do very much review at all today. We're going to be focusing on really what to do when a word goes forth, how to judge it, how to accept it, how to make it a part of your life. And this is important because all too often, honestly, guys, really, there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ about this, about when a word goes forth. Well, what do you do with it? We've seen how, in 1 Corinthians 14, how praying in tongues is absolutely vital for personal edification so that you can turn around and prophesy to the church for the edification of the body of Christ. And that prophecy, it's not simply a matter of foretelling the future, but it's also a matter of delivering the mind and the will of God at a particular moment in time. Well, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this particular chapter, as we've shared before, you know, we've taught from it. It covers so much about praying in tongues. But 14 times in this chapter, we see a mention of, you know, prophecy or prophet or prophesy, things like that. So this is not just about praying in tongues, but it can also serve as a guideline as far as the order of prophecy and so forth. And we looked at that in a little more detail last time we were together. Basically, there are two kinds of prophecy. There's general prophecy and there's personal. And we're talking about when somebody basically has a word from the Lord. There's general prophecy and there's personal prophecy, but general prophecy can be personal. It depends on the nature of what is spoken. Now, real prophecy, the genuine, comes from God. Now let that sink in. Genuine prophecy comes from God. And what that means is, from the perspective of, how can I say? Okay, from our perspective, we live in a world that's governed by time, the natural world. Well, God is not governed by time. But if we think of it from the perspective of time, whenever a prophecy comes forth, what it means is God has stopped everything He's doing for the purpose of speaking at a particular moment. Now, quite frankly, I don't know how that He can speak at a particular moment to more than one person. But when you're God, you can do things like that. But nevertheless, it means God Himself has taken the time to speak either generally or personally. Now, what does that mean to us? What it means is the Creator of the universe is so interested in something or someone that there's a message He wants to convey. If God speaks, isn't that important? Now, you're going to encounter, well, maybe, hopefully you won't encounter words that really didn't come from the Lord, okay? That stuff goes on. We're dismissing that. We're not talking about that so much here in this message today. But the real, it comes directly from God. Directly from God. Sometimes it's delivered from the perspective of the Father. Sometimes it's delivered from the perspective of the Son, and sometimes it's delivered from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. However, there are also times when a word can come forth and it's like it might start off as the Son speaking, but then it kind of switches over to where it's like it's coming from the Father. And it's not that there's confusion, and it's not that that's out of order. It's just God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wanting to get a message across. And from His perspective, that message is best delivered if He first delivers it from the perspective of the Father. Then maybe changes and begins to speak to you as the Son. And then maybe comes at you as the Holy Spirit. So it can be more than one way when a word is given. When God begins to speak and He gives a word, whether it's general meaning for the body of Christ or for a local church, general. Personal meaning, you. I mean, you. Or maybe a husband and wife, something like that, but personal. Whenever He speaks, whenever a word is given, it is not an attempt to create more Scripture. It is not an attempt to write more Bible. However, both Scripture and these words originate from the same place. There's no difference. Do you understand that? There's no difference. None. What does that mean then to us? With that in mind, what it means is that when a word is given, we're not going to include it in the Bible. But when that word is spoken, first off, you can know for sure it's going to line up, you know, with the Bible. But if you take that word and you kind of push it aside and you do not look at it with the exact same kind of respect that you would give the Bible, you just miss God. You say, well, now, Brother Martin, it sounds to me like you're making a word from the Lord equal to the Bible. Okay, now they're coming from the same source, right? How many people cry out, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do? You know, there is no book of Bob in the Bible. So you can't turn to it. But one of the things God can do is speak through somebody to give you a word personally or a word for a church. Or it can be just a general word for the body of Christ, whatever. And it's not Scripture. And we're not saying it is Scripture. But if it comes from the same source, we had better respect it in the same way. It's God taking the time to speak. God. And it's my personal opinion, there are a lot of Christians, if not most Christians, who even believe in this kind of thing, but have taken too lightly the words that God has given outside the parameters of the cover of your Bible. Do you understand what I meant by that? In other words, well, He didn't say that word for word somewhere here in the Bible, so it must not be as important. Dear heart, people are always crying out, oh God, what do you want me to do? Speak to me, talk to me, share with me, tell me, God. And then He decides to speak, and you say, well, now, hold on. We better rethink this. I don't know if that's really, I don't know if I should, or, you know, and then they dismiss it. Now, I just want you to think. Think about your own life. Any of you in here who have ever received a word from the Lord, where are they? Where are those words from the Lord that over the years? If I were to ask you to show them to me, could you bring them back tonight and show them? I got one yes. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Words can be delivered two ways, verbally or in written form. Verbally or in written form, meaning, remember, for an example, remember when Paul wrote his letters? Those are written words from the Lord that became Scripture. They didn't start out as the Bible. You understand that, don't you? You do realize that when Paul was writing to the Philippians, nowhere in the book of Philippians does he say, now this book is going to be in the Bible, so you doggone well better listen. No. But every book in the New Testament, like what Paul wrote, what Peter wrote, and so forth, they all started off as written words of the Lord, but they became Scripture later on. Now, we're not adding any more to the Bible, But you can receive a word either in written form or verbally. One of the two ways. And again, when we receive a word, it is extremely important that even though we realize it's not Bible, we need to respect it as such because it came from the same source. You know, one of the reasons a lot of people struggle with that is because they're hearing a human voice deliver the word. Well, yeah, that may have been from God, but that was, you know, Joe speaking. Okay. Well, you know what? You might want to be thankful that Joe can hear well enough to be able to speak, because it's been my experience, and I truly believe, one of the reasons that God speaks through other people to you is because maybe you're dull of hearing. And it isn't that He wouldn't speak this to you alone. Or maybe you're not spending enough time alone with Him. And He says, you know, I got to get this through. And so I'm going to use Joe over here. And I surely hope that Bob pays attention when I speak through Joe. And I truly believe a lot of Christians have missed some divine appointments and divine direction from God because they have dismissed words that from God that have come through somebody because they're hearing it come through a human vessel. Do you not understand that everything here in Scripture came through a human vessel? Your whole Bible came through a human vessel. Everything in here. Do you think it's possible that back in the days when Paul was ministering, that there were some people who dismissed him because he was a human vessel? Absolutely. Go back and read the New Testament and you're going to see that there were people that stood up against Paul, and these exact words aren't in the Bible, but the message is in there. You'll see it if you go through and read. They were accusing him of not even being an apostle. And so why was that? They were refuting him because he's just a voice, just a human being speaking these things. Now, after the fact, we know differently, don't we? The man heard from God. But yet, he was encountering the same thing back then, no different whatsoever. In 1 Corinthians 14, I want you to take a look at a verse here. In verse 14, or verse 3, it says, "He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." Okay, so what do we have here? We have a rule of thumb. When it comes to judging and accepting prophecy, prophecy will be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, briefly, the word edification, I was going to try and read these Greek words, but I won't. The word edification, it's not that they're hard, it's just I don't want to, means the act of building up. The act of building up. The word exhortation, it means encouragement, but it also means to beseech or admonish someone toward a particular course of action. And the word comfort, that's a pretty good word. It means to console, to encourage, so on and so forth. Now, here's the part that I had struggled with. Prophecy, whether it's general for the body of Christ at large or a church, or personal for an individual, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? But I'm going to show you in Scripture why I struggled with this concept, the way it's presented. Now, we might go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I don't know. So go ahead and put a marker there just in case. But for the moment, turn over to Revelation. Now, remember, prophecy, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now you've heard me give you the descriptions of the definitions of those words. Now, with those definitions in mind, I want you to mentally create the image of what those words mean. create a picture in your mind of somebody walking up to you and not necessarily giving you a word from the Lord, but just somebody coming up to you and exhorting you, edifying you, and comforting you. In your mind, how would that person do that? Would they put their arm around you? Or, I don't know, what would they be saying to you? How would they be acting toward you, okay? When anyone prophesies, it is to be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I'm sure that we all have about the same kind of mental image here in this, on what we believe that means. And that feel-good concept of this whole thing, prophesy, edification, exhortation, and comfort, that feel-good concept is a thing that threw me a curve. I couldn't understand that. I'll be honest with you, I really had some struggle with that. Because it is taught, rightfully so, that all prophecy should be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? However, let me show you something here. In Revelation chapter 2, now just look at the very first few words, verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Okay, now stop right there. Remember what I shared with you a few moments ago, how that when a prophecy comes forth, it can either come forth verbally or in written form. So now I want to ask you something. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. That word angel is making reference to the pastor, really. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Is this a word from the Lord? Okay. Now, let's take a look at this and see what it says. And this is not the only example we're going to look at the moment. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? Aren't you feeling good about yourself? Nevertheless. I don't like nevertheless. I have somewhat against thee. I like that even less than nevertheless. Because thou hast left thy first love. Well, I feel real edified right about now. Don't you? Isn't this comforting? And boy, am I exhorted. Hallelujah. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, I am not going to go back and teach on these passages. I'm just pointing some things out, okay? Go to verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write. Another word from the Lord, amen? These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now jump to verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Let me just stop in here, interject very quickly. You do understand he is not literally speaking of Jezebel, but he's speaking of a woman operating by the spirit of Jezebel. I mean, you know, as the figure of speech. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now look in chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, here we have another word from the Lord. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and thou livest, and art dead. What? You live, but you're dead? Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, these last two in particular, I ask you, where is the edification, the exhortation, and the comfort? But are they not prophecy? Every one that we read is prophecy. Every one that we read was a word from the Lord. Every one of them. But the way that it's taught that all prophecy will be for edification, exhortation, and comfort, it comes across as meaning that all prophecy is going to make you feel good. Isn't that how it's presented? Isn't that how, even when you read those three words, edification, exhortation, and comfort, doesn't it come across as it's going to make you feel good? Well, now, if you happen to be some of the people that receive these words from the Lord that we just read here in Revelation, how good would you be feeling? Can you see what I'm getting at here? I'm thinking about this, and, you know, one of the things that the Lord shared with me was that exhortation is not always going to make people feel good. Because exhortation is not simply comforting. Remember, it's also beseeching or imploring someone toward a course of action. And this is where some people miss it, because they think that if a prophecy comes forth as rebuking, that it's not of God.
Well, that wasn't very edifying.
Well, now, wait a minute. I guess it kind of depends on whose perspective. Yours or God's? Think of it this way. If God loves you so much to take the time to point out how you're blowing it, isn't He trying to edify you closer to Himself? Is it, remember what in all of these, it's like at the end of it, it says, him with ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. In other words, those of you who are truly trying to be sensitive to God, you better listen to what the Spirit of God says. And so the whole thing of edification, exhortation, and comfort, it's not simply a matter of everything's coming up roses. It's a matter of God delivering to you and to me what we need to hear. And that's why not all prophecy is feel-good stuff. Some of it is going to be just like what we've seen here in these passages. You know, God saying, okay, look, you're doing this, you're doing that, yeah, I love you, and you know everything, this is fine, but nevertheless, you know, there are some issues that need to be dealt with. And like in this one prophecy where he says, you know, you people are really messed up. Now, there are a few in your midst that have stayed on track. But the rest of you, you know where you're headed, don't you? Me blotting your name out of the book of life. It's like, well, God, think with me for a moment. Can you imagine somebody standing up in a church today and delivering a word like that? Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, there are those of you in this place who are serving me with a diligent heart, but there are others who are getting close to having your names blotted out of my book of life. Say, Pastor, can I have my offering back? Can you imagine how well that would not go over? But there it is, right in Scripture, examples. This is why there are a lot of people who absolutely refuse to receive any prophecy that does not fit their definition of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Because they think it's all supposed to be feel-good stuff, warm and fuzzy on the inside, like a nice latte on a cold winter day. Hallelujah. And that's not the way it is. Remember what where the Lord said in verse 19, Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So if He's going to tell us that we've got some issues in our life, it's because He loves us. Serving God isn't about you feeling good. It's about you being right in the eyes of God. And this is where a lot of people miss it in this thing of prophecy. Especially personal prophecy, where somebody receives a word from the Lord, but they don't want to have anything to do it because they think it's simply for the purpose of criticizing. I remember, well, should I do that later? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The goal of any word from the Lord, put another way, the goal of any prophecy that truly originates with God is this, summed up here, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That verse summarizes the goal of any prophecy. Those prophecies that God gave back there in Revelation, what we were reading a few moments ago, how that some of them sounded pretty harsh. Well, it wasn't because God's trying to be mean. It's because He loves them. And He wants those people to conform to the image of Christ. And He's sharing with them things in their lives that are keeping them from conforming to that image. And so therefore He says, look, you know, you, in some cases He was saying, you've got some things right. You are doing some things right. And I like that. But you've got some of these other things over here that they need to be corrected. Now, there is a theme that runs through most of what we read as far as when God was correcting. And it had to do with doctrine. And you can go back and read it later and study it out. But it had to do with things that were being taught within those churches. So the goal of any word that comes from the Lord is to take you in the direction of 2 Corinthians 3:18. And where he, again, where he made that statement, if you have ears to hear, hear. It's not just, you know, can you hear? Can you hear me now? That's not just talking about that. It's talking about for those whose spiritual ears are attuned to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You better listen to this and you better receive it. Now, why would he say that in those prophecies? Why would he say that? It's because there are a lot of Christians. Notice these are all written, you know, to the angel of the church and the people in those churches. It's because there are a lot of Christians, they'll hear a word, they won't receive it. They will hear the words, but they won't hear the word. Get that? And, you know, oh, just another prophet. Hey, listen, there are some people that could walk into a church and they won't receive it, period, because they don't believe God does stuff like that anymore. God doesn't speak anymore. Yeah, he does. And I bet if I pray long enough and listen closely enough, he might give me something to say to you, praise God. Maybe not. Anyway, if God, now listen to this. If God loves us enough to speak, then don't you think we should have that ear to hear? If he loves us enough to take the time to share a word with us through somebody, then don't you think we should pay attention? Don't you think we should listen to what he's saying? Absolutely we should. But does it happen? No. It doesn't. And again, part of it has to do with a perception that it came from God, but it didn't come from God. It's a word from the Lord, but a human had to speak it. So therefore, it must have been watered down. Or it's really not that important. It's a word from the Lord, but well, it doesn't quite mean the same as what? It doesn't quite mean the same as what? If the Lord takes the time to speak something, and the goal is to help us to be changed into the same image of His glory, then we should have the ears to hear, should we not? Well, absolutely. Here's the problem, though. Most people, like I said, don't. Let me ask you a question. Think of it this way. If let's say you're at home, okay, and you're watching reruns of Andy Griffith, and there's this knock on your door. And you go to the door and you open it, and there's Jesus. It's like, wow. One of the first things you'd think of is, how am I dressed? You know I'm telling you the truth. My hair. Oh, my goodness. Have I shaved today? This is Jesus, okay? I mean, it's not like, you know, it's the pastor or anything. I mean, this is Jesus, okay? He's come to pay me a visit. So, well, come on in, Jesus, and you bring him in. And you tell him, you know, have a seat, and on the inside you are thanking God that you're on the right channel. And he sits down, he looks over, and he says, ha, that Don Knotts, he was so funny. And you say, well, here, Jesus, let me, and you turn everything off, and what are you going to say to him? What? So, Jesus, how you doing? You know what I'm... Wouldn't you be kind of tongue-tied? It's Jesus, the Savior, the King of Kings. And he's sitting in my living room. You might offer him something to eat or drink. He'd probably ask if you have any Starbucks. So you'd brew him some and sit down and you guys would be sipping. And he'd say, I just wanted to stop by and just tell you, you know, I appreciate... this, thus, that, and the other. You know, things, he just tell you, you know, I appreciate this, and I just want you to know that I love you. I love you more than you understand. I really do love you. Now, there's some things that I need to share with you, and it has to do with your future. Now, would you not, like, scoot up on the edge of your seat and be listening to this? And would you not be, I mean... you'd throw the dog out, the kids out, everybody. You'd close the windows, nothing. I want to hear what Jesus has to say to me. And you would be listening. Okay? Yeah? and he begins sharing things with you, would that mean anything to you? Would it make an impression? Then why doesn't it make the same impression when he speaks through somebody else? You see what I'm saying? Why doesn't it carry the same weight? Well, because it wasn't Jesus. Well, now wait a minute. If it's a word from the Lord, you better believe it's a word from the Lord. Just because it came through a different vessel doesn't mean it's less important. It's God taking the time to speak to you through somebody. So yeah, you better believe we'd pay attention if Jesus was there and he was the one delivering it, but he's just chosen to use somebody else as the messenger. That's all. Therefore, we ought to be looking at it in the same way that we would look at it if Jesus himself walked in, sat down in our living room, and began to talk to us. Okay, now what do we do with these words, though? I'm going to give you some things. I don't know if you want to write these down or not. They will be recorded. First off, let's speak about a general word. That would be a general word to the body of Christ. You know, thus, in the days to follow, I will be such and such, and this is coming. In this world, I plan to do whatever. See, we've had words that have come forth in this church over the last several years, words of warning, where God has laid out, you know, attacks of the enemy and what Satan is going to do. He's laid out how that these attacks are going to be brought into people's lives. And he's giving us, I mean, really detail. It's going to be like this, then like this, then like this, then like this. And here's the thing that's really so sad is over the years when those attacks have hit, like weeks or months later, or maybe even a year or whatever later when the attacks hit, there are people in this church who have been slammed up against the wall in exactly line upon line fashion the way the attack was prophesied. Exactly. I mean, exactly to the letter. And they haven't seen it. And they did exactly what the prophecy warned would happen they would do if they didn't prepare themselves for the attack. And the whole time that they were succumbing to the attack, not once did they recognize it was a fulfillment of prophecy in their lives. Not one time. Never. Never. It's always been, well, God has moved and told me, and God has spoken, and it hadn't been God. Listen, God's not going to prophesy that an attack is going to come in a specific way, and I mean minute detail, and that it's going to come from the devil, and then turn around and imitate that attack. Come on, man, give me a break. God's not going to do that. Now, let me just interject this. To those of you that are here today, I would say, is there anything about your life that resembles an attack that's been prophesied over the last few years? I'm not, you know, you don't have to come and tell me. I'm just saying, you know, you better think about this. Is there anything about your life that resembles an attack that was prophesied? So why would God do this? He's warning us. He's telling us, look, here's what the devil's planning on doing. Well, you think God doesn't know what Satan plans? You think Satan is so good at what he does that he can hide his plans from God? You think God doesn't know from before the foundation of the world what Satan has planned for you next month? God knows. And he's letting you in on a secret. A secret that Satan wants to keep from you. Satan's not going to come and tell you what he plans to do to your life. So God says, look, since the devil's not going to tell you, I'll tell you. Here's what he's planning to do to you. Here's how the attack is going to be launched. And he shares it. And then once he shares it, he expects us. Okay, natural example. Johnny, don't touch the burner. It will burn your finger. Variation on the theme. But you're warning ahead of time what will happen. So when Johnny touches the burner and gets burned, Johnny acts like he doesn't understand. He cries and screams and yells. Anyway, having an ear to hear means listening to what God says. Praise God. I'll leave that one alone. What you need to understand is that sometimes he shares things during a sermon that have no place in the sermon. So, a general word to the body. What do? First off, you ask yourself and God a couple of questions. How does it apply to me and how do I fit in? How does it apply to me and how do I fit in? If it's a general word for the body of Christ and you're a member of the body of Christ, don't you think in some way it's going to impact you? Let's say it's a general word to the body of Christ regarding getting the sin out of your life, okay? Just something like that. And you say, well, yeah, but I don't have that kind of sin in my life. No, you don't. But you could pray and say, God, I just pray that the people who will hear this will respond. See what I mean? Even though you're not guilty of it, you can pray for those who are. So how does it apply to me and how do I fit in? Now, a general word to a church. How does it apply to me? How do I fit in? And what role do I play? How does it apply to me? How do I fit in? And what role do I play? This kind of goes back to the attacks. When the prophecies have gone forth, and I've seen it, oh, it's not literally like somebody's face lights up, but it's almost like I can identify when some of these kind of words come forth, like the warnings, the devil's, and this is in the works, and Satan's going to attack, and such and so on. It's almost like I can see in people, certain people's faces, that it's bouncing right off. Like you throw a rubber ball against a brick wall, it's just bouncing right off. They're hearing the words, but they're not receiving the word. And they're not paying a bit of attention, though they could maybe even repeat part of what's said word for word. But they're not receiving it. You know why? It's because they feel like they are immune to that attack and that it's not going to hit them. And so therefore, they do nothing to prepare themselves. When a word from the Lord, what I'm sharing with you right now, if you don't receive this, it will change the course of your life forever. Because what God's doing through this series is preparing you. Go back to Matthew 24, the false prophets, okay? We're learning how to discern. We're learning how to apply. We're learning how to prepare ourselves. And what I'm sharing with you right now, if you don't receive this and apply it, then it is a step further into hardening your heart and mind to receiving from God. When a word comes forth to a church, if it's say it's a word of warning. The attack is going to come and so on. You need to go to God. All of us need to go to God and say, now, God, you've given this warning. Now, if you've given that warning to this church, that means since I'm a part of this church, that warning applies to me. That means I am susceptible to this kind of an attack. Remember, the devil, he's to and fro, you know, wandering around to and fro, you know, looking for someone that he might be able to devour. And if he can find somebody in a congregation to devour, he'll do it. And it's happened. And not one time is somebody going to come and tell you the reason that, you know, they made the decisions they made is because they were devoured by Satan. They're always going to tell you God did it. God led. God spoke. He answered prayer. He did. You know, when you're dealing with somebody like that, there's not a whole lot you can do to keep peace other than keep your mouth shut. And sometimes, if God tells you to, you don't need to keep your mouth shut. That's where you need to be sensitive to the Lord. Hallelujah. If it's a word to the church, you absolutely need to find out from God how it affects you. Where do you fit into that word? Now, all I'm going to say pertaining to that, in addition to this, is I can tell you right now that if some of you, and guys, please don't take this as condemnation. I don't mean it this way. But if some of you take the time to pray about what you've just heard, and I mean sincerely, pray about it, God's going to show you where you have missed it in this church. some of you. Because there's some things that God has spoken to some of you about doing and being involved with, and you haven't done it. And the reason I know that is because he showed me what he's shown you, but you've dismissed it and you're not acting on it. And there's no condemnation here. There's not. Remember, you know, God wants us to be in his perfect will. All I'm saying is, if you pray about this, what you just heard these last few moments, pray about this and just ask him to help you. He'll help you. It's not like he's, you know, furious at you or anything like that. He'll help you. That's what this series is about. Helping us get beyond where we are to where we need to be. Okay, now, what about a personal word? You know, not too long ago, someone was called out and given a personal word, were they not? Hallelujah. What about a personal word? Whether this church, another ministry, so on and so forth. General words or personal words. You do not base the message on the earthly messenger. You base the message on whether or not it came from God. Listen, if God can speak through an ass, he can speak through a whole lot of Christians. And in some cases, it's hard to differentiate. Remember Balaam? Balaam got rebuked. I was going to say Balaam got rebuked by his ass, but that might be carrying things a bit. It's true. So you can't judge the word by the human messenger. You can't say, oh, I don't receive it because I don't like that preacher. Or I don't receive it because it didn't come through the pastor. Or it didn't come from this. No. If you dismiss it, you may be dismissing a crossroads direction for your life from God. So you don't, listen, anytime anybody gives me a word, I don't care who it's from. I don't immediately throw it out. I'll go to God over it. And I'll pray about it. And I'll ask God, you know, is there some merit to this? Because it's possible part of what they said really came from God and part maybe from their flesh. I want to know which is which. Or did it all come from them? It's not easy to receive a word of rebuke. I remember one time somebody called me out, began to give me a word in the service. I mean, you know, everybody's in the sanctuary. It wasn't here, it was somewhere else. And they gave me this word from the Lord. Well, there may not have been one person out of however many hundreds were there. There may not have been one person who recognized that part of that word was a loving rebuke. But I did. It was a correction from God. And basically, it had to do with God telling me I was limiting him. And I don't know that anybody else picked up on it, but I did. And I knew what was going on. Well, it's not easy to receive a rebuke. It's not. But the thing is, prophecy sometimes considers a rebuke from God. And again, it's for the purpose of getting us to conform to the image of Christ. Well, when you receive a personal word, again, how does it apply to me? And what do I do? How does it apply to me and what do I do? And you want to get a recording or transcription of that word. You want to get a recording or a transcription of that word. Now, every word that's gone forth in this church is supposed to have been recorded. That's the way that we've got everything set up here. And we are in the process now of refining all of that in our computer. Okay? But every word that's come forth personally for people, we've tried to get most of those to that person either on a tape or some way. But you want to make sure that you have a recording of it or a transcription of it, and you may be the one responsible for transcribing from the recording. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, as far as the recording is concerned, let me just throw this out as food for thought. I would recommend that you consider, no rule, no doctrine, just consider. You know those little bitty tape recorders? Little bitty ones. The prices have really come down on those. And you can buy them sometimes now for like $20, $25. You can get them at like the big office discount places, stores, and you know, like your Walmarts, you know, just different places like that sell this. Sometimes they have a discontinued line and you can get it really cheap, but eBay, you know, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to have one of those. And any time that you're called out, I mean, have it with you all the time. All the time. And any time that you might be called out, click that thing on to record. Any time that you're standing up for prayer, bring it with you. It's not a distraction to me, because there are times when I start praying for somebody and the Lord starts giving me something I didn't know He was going to give until I started praying for them. Just click it on. And if there's no word in it, that's okay. You can erase it if you want to. If it's just a prayer, whatever. But if a word starts to come forth, you don't have to depend on maybe a glitch in our system to lose that word. You have it recorded right there with you. And as you're being prayed for, you can just kind of hold it with one hand, lift your other hand up, whatever you do. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm just saying this is a way to help you get these words that God gives you. Whenever you go to other churches, other ministries, take it with you. And if somebody calls you out, you know, I mean, you can have it right there in the chair next to you or just handy so that you can pull it and just hit that record button to start recording if somebody starts to give you a word. Or if you're called up for prayer, I mean, whatever it would be. Because then you're going to be able to not just listen to it, but you can also get your own recording or your own transcription. You can transcribe it for yourself. And once you have, now think of this. Remember the illustration that we gave of Jesus? If He walked into your living room and sat down and said, wouldn't you like to record it? Wouldn't you like to have it on tape, CD, I mean something? So you can play back and listen to what Jesus said to me. Click, play, click, play, click, play. See what I mean? So why would we not value a word from Jesus that comes through a human vessel rather than from Him? See what I'm getting at? And this is like, it's such an easy thing to do, to dismiss it as not being as important as it would be if Jesus Himself walked in and said it. So having it recorded is going to help you tremendously to keep track of it. Review it. Pray about it. Review it. Pray about it. Read it over and over again. Pray in tongues while you're reading it. Ask God to help you see exactly the message. I mean, it may be very clear when He gives it to you, but you can pray in tongues and you can ask God, now what exactly are you wanting me? I mean, it seems like I understand this, but I don't want to miss you. So I'm asking you to help me to understand the fullness of this message. And if it's talking about correcting things in your life, ask Him. Show me what it is that needs to be corrected. And He'll begin to reveal these things to you. You need to activate this word. You say, well, how do I do that? Speaking it. Father, you know, you can even go so far as on such and such date, you know, this is what you said, you know, through so and so to me. Thus and thus and such and such. And you know, however is appropriate, you could turn that into a type of confession over your own life to activate that word that God has given. You say, why is that important? Well, don't we express how important it is to confess God's word from Scripture? Now, if God has taken the time to speak to you directly, don't you think it would be a good idea also to maybe speak that? God, this is something that you said to me, and I want to see it happen. And so, therefore, Father, I speak this. I declare it into my life. Keep a file, a notebook, some way. Keep track of it. Keep a file of the words. Date them. And it's not quite as important as you have that you have the name of the person who gave the word, but that doesn't hurt. But date them. Some of the words that you'll receive are not for today, tomorrow, or next week, but they're for the future, somewhere down the road. I can remember there were words given to me, like not long after Kathy and I were married, that only in the last few years have come to pass. And at the time, I wasn't even preaching or anything. I didn't even want to be a preacher at the time. I mean, nothing. And let these things were, and it's like the only way these words can come to pass is if something drastic changes in my life. So it's only been in the last few years that some of these words have come to pass. So some of the things that you receive, it's not for the immediate, it's for the future. But it's part of God preparing you for what He's called you to do. Also, praying in tongues can produce a word from the Lord through you, to you. It doesn't have to come from somebody else. God can speak through you, to you, as you pray in tongues. And I don't mean you'll be praying in tongues and all of a sudden, thus saith the Lord, Jim, thou shalt go forth. And you see what I'm saying? It's like you'll be praying in tongues and on the inside, He'll start speaking to you. And He'll start giving you direction. He'll start speaking things about you, for you, to you, concerning you, your direction, your calling, your ministry. Write them out. Write them out. Or if you want to record them, record them. Do both. It's okay. But keeping a record of these things is extremely vital because as these words come forth, all of these words are pieces to the puzzle of the fulfillment of God's divine will in your life. And that's why they come bits at a time. We couldn't handle the fullness of it. It would be just incredibly overwhelming. And again, to close, all prophecy will line up with Scripture. All of it. God will never prophesy through somebody something that is way out there in left field. It will always line up. Always. And even if it's a word that is a word of rebuke, correction, don't throw it out the window. Go to God and ask Him. You know, is this of merit? Whatever. But all prophecy is going to line up with Scripture, but not all prophecy will make you feel good. But it's all for the purpose of you ultimately conforming to the full image of the glory of God, the full image of Christ.